We return to Galatians chapter 1 this morning, and we're continuing we're looking at the Apostle Paul's defense of himself, but we're using it as a means for ourselves to answer the question, why believe? Because in essence, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying to them. Why should you believe? You're questioning why you should believe. And so he's giving an answer to that question by the defense that he's having to give because of the accusations that have come against him as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. There has been always a religious source from the enemy to draw people away from the necessity of believing by faith and solely by faith on the grace of God for salvation. It's wired into us to work physically, and it's wired into our lost condition to work religiously. And all around the globe, no matter whether it's a jungle environment or a highly educated people, we're working on our religion. It might be a religion of faith in some supernatural. It might be the religion of humanism, because man wanting to save himself by his education, by his quote-unquote science, he's going to worship. And if he's not worshiping something outside of himself, he is certainly worshiping something on the inside. He's going to worship himself. So we're looking at, we started last week, the argument of contradiction. We saw how the apostle here makes it very clear that he had received his message from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he had gone 180 degrees from what he had once been. We saw the argument of contradiction, the argument of conception. He even concluded that God had, for him as well as all of us, God has known us from eternity past. He chose us in the work and in the person of his own Son to forgive us and to save us before the world was ever even created, because Jesus Christ is slain from the foundation of the world. So he had to conclude that God had him in mind for this task, just as God has had you in mind for the task of your life, whatever it may be. We are a people planned. Our spiritual birth was not a surprise. Your physical birth might have been a surprise to your parents, but your spiritual birth was by no means a surprise to God. It was a planned birth. We also considered the argument of conversion. And that's where we kind of concluded our thinking last week. I want to continue that line of thought, because again, Galatians, the apostle is defending the pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It had not come to him by education. He was not the recipient of this gospel by the other apostles that had preceded him. He had received this gospel from the Lord Jesus Christ, as he says here in Galatians chapter 1, verse 12, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." He received it in a unique way, different from us. We received it from our mothers, our fathers, the culture around us, and certainly from the preaching that we heard. And eventually, God used someone somehow to tell us that it would not be outward religion that would save us, but a revelation of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We don't need religion. We don't need a physical church. We do not need baptism. We need the living work of Christ accomplished on Calvary's cross and by faith in what He did and He did alone. That faith birthed us and brought us into a relationship with God the Father by believing on the work of God the Son. So we saw the argument of His conversion, what a transformed man in a moment of time. And you and I, God saving us by His grace, He has justified us, just as the Apostle Paul, we read this last week. I'll just read it to you before we dig more into the Scriptures, where the Bible says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate," that is you and I, "them He also called." So in eternity past, God had determined He was going to save you by His grace. But in the process of time, He finally called you. You had to be born. There were the circumstances of your birth and life and childhood. And at whatever point, God finally spoke to you and called you to come to Himself. "And them that He called, them He also justified. And those who He justified, them He also glorified." So you see, I want you to understand that God has been the absolute author, and He will be the finisher of your salvation. Every step of it is in God's hands, and He is growing you by whatever means, through whatever circumstances. He's going to take you back to this book, and He's going to make you grow spiritually out of the Word of God. It is your food for growth. And so we're praising the Lord today that we are a redeemed people. We have had experienced a conversion. We've trusted in that gospel, the simplicity of it, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So we've seen the argument of contradiction, the argument of conception, the argument of conversion. Our emphasis this morning is the argument of commission. In Galatians chapter 1, we now pick it up in verse 15. "And when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen." Why does the Apostle Paul have to emphasize this? He is emphasizing this to the Galatian churches, where these men came in behind His ministry and began to sow the seeds of doubt about the man. You can't trust this Paul. He is not one of the original apostles. The gospel that he is telling you, you have to add to that gospel the works of the Old Testament. You have to add the works of the Jews that the Jews have done. You have to celebrate their days. And unless you're circumcised, unless you follow these rules, you can't be saved. So they took the gospel of God's grace and they added the works of the Old Testament law to the work of Jesus Christ, which meant that what Jesus did was not enough. Something more would have to be done. But Paul is arguing this point. He says, no, hold on a moment. He said, it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, and it was God who called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me and that I might preach Him among the heathen. God had a specific plan for me. Hold your place here in Galatians and turn back with me to the book of Acts chapter 9. We'll go back and forth between Galatians and Acts chapter 9, so you kind of hold your finger here in this place. So in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is referring to the day that he got saved. The day that he got saved, God had set in motion His plan to use the Apostle Paul. And right after his conversion, he, for the next 3 days, the Bible tells us in verse 9, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. Now, that's quite a testimony, wouldn't you say? What was motivating this man, Saul of Tarsus, for those 3 days to not eat or drink, and he is absolutely and completely blind? What do you think is going on? He had just seen the bright glory of the Son of God, this Jesus whom he had hated, whom he had blasphemed. He had taken Jesus' people and assisted in their murder and their imprisonment. 3 days of reevaluating everything he had ever been taught. And then a message came to somebody else. Verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And has seen in a vision. So he can't see, correct? He's blind. He is praying. But he has a mental, spiritual vision of a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've by many of this man, how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. The Apostle Paul's argument to the churches at Galatia that had been receiving and accepting the accusations against the Apostle Paul, that he was not qualified to be an apostle, that his message is diminished, and he is saying something that is contradictory to everything that had been taught and believed and lived for centuries. You cannot trust him. But the Apostle Paul, in his argument, is saying, oh, I have had a conversion. You have no explanation for the transformation of my life other than the encounter that you have heard of me and of my testimony. You have no explanation for that. It is the argument of contradiction. I'm teaching something that I once fought against. And furthermore, God chose me, even in my mother's womb, just as he chose Jeremiah, just as he called Jeremiah. And now he is emphasizing that God, he is emphasizing the argument of his commission. Here, the third day after his blindness and his receiving Jesus Christ as his Savior, Ananias is told that he is a chosen vessel and that this man is going to give the gospel to the Gentiles, to kings, and the children of Israel. So you see, the Apostle Paul's argument is the argument of his commission, that I might preach him. Come back with me. Hold your place there in Acts. Come back to Galatians. And let's emphasize exactly what Paul says here when he makes this statement. In verse 15, he says, it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him. There is the gospel. Jesus Christ did not call him to preach Judaism. Jesus Christ commissioned him, taught him, gave him this gospel, and the gospel is him. The gospel is not the church. The gospel is not baptism. Paul's message is a message of the work of one man, the Messiah, the Christ. This is Paul's message. This is his argument. God did not send him to reinvent Judaism. He sent him to do one thing. I might preach him. Now, that's the argument of his commission. It is an argument only to preach Christ. Hold your place in Galatians, back to Acts chapter 9. And the Bible says in verse 17 of chapter 9, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. So, here's his commission. Here's his salvation. Here is his calling. Here is what God had purposed to bring and to accomplish in his life. God's called him. God is sending him. God is using him. He has a unique ministry. So that same Paul, now I'm going to read to you some passages of Scripture. I'm going to read to you, first of all, out of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. His whole focus now, his message, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. What is the message of the Apostle Paul? I want nothing to do but to live for Christ. He is all my message. As he said there in Galatians, my whole goal is to preach him. My whole interest is to declare him. And now I read to you from Colossians and chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. He writes of him and he says, who is the image of the invisible God? He's defining the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Paul was saved to preach him. It's all he wanted to talk about. It's all he wanted to express. His whole emphasis was nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remind you again, out of 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the mystery of the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. We are answering this question that the Apostle Paul is answering. Why believe? Why believe? Why defend this gospel that I preach? Because I didn't come up with it. It was Jesus Christ himself revealed to me his gospel. And when he revealed that to me, he then set in motion my very conception. And then he saved me, my conversion. And then he commissioned me immediately that my ministry would be a ministry to the Gentiles, to kings, and to the children of Israel. The emphasis Paul is making, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ, which is how, again, he started his letter to them, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. The argument of contradiction, the argument of conception, the argument of conversion, the argument of commission. But now we pick it up in verse 16, the argument of communication. Verse 16. To reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. We're now looking at the argument of communication. The Apostle Paul is making it clear that when God saved him, he did not sit down with the brethren of Damascus, where he had showed up. That's not what happened to him. He did not confer with flesh and blood. Well, that certainly brings a bell, doesn't it? You remember when the Lord Jesus asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, some think you're a prophet and some think you're this and that. But Peter, wonderful Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. So the revelation of who Jesus Christ was to Peter is the same revelation of Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul. So he is emphasizing here that that Jesus Christ, this spiritual instruction, I did not get it from men. I received it from Jesus Christ himself. I did not confer. The matter was not laid before me. The same word is conference, counsel, same idea. I didn't get any counseling. I had no communication with flesh and blood on this. And he continues, verse 17, come back to Galatians here, and chapter 1, verse 17. Neither went out to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. And by even that statement there, he is indicating I am an apostle. I didn't get this information from the apostles that were before me, meaning I'm telling you, I am an apostle. They were before me, but this doesn't diminish the reality that I am an apostle. You see the argument? So neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. The journey here of the Apostle Paul was not unlike that of Moses, not unlike that of Elijah, both of which ended up in the wilderness, and both of which received a communication from God. We clearly know that of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. But then we also know about Elijah, who ran from Jezebel, ended up in the wilderness here at Sinai. And he's tucked away in a crevice of the rock. And the earthquake comes and the fire comes, and God is not in either of them. And suddenly in the still small voice, God spoke. The Lord Jesus Christ also, you remember, spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. So the Apostle Paul goes where no one can have any influence on him. He goes there with the Word of God in his heart. If he had scrolls with him, we're not told, don't know. But he spent that time in Arabia under the tutelage of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Ghost, making the Old Testament scriptures come alive with the person of Messiah on every page. And when the Apostle Paul came back from Arabia, he had the whole picture and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it would be in time by circumstances that would arise that would move the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to write Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. These letters he would write. And in those letters, what God had pulled back and allowed him to understand of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, he communicated those truths to the Gentile churches that had been established by his ministry. He had been commissioned by Jesus Christ. He was sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's even interesting because as we read the history, he already is told the third day of his salvation, when the blinders came off and the Holy Ghost came on him, that he was going to be sent to the Gentiles. Well, he didn't just jump up and take off, did he? He went to seminary. He had to have some training. He had to have all of this that he had been taught at the feet of Gamaliel. He needed to have it all undone to come back to the centrality so that the day would come he would preach him. And so the communication, he spends this time with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. From whom had Paul received this gospel? He had received it by the Lord Jesus. And then beginning in verse 18, he just lays out more of the history. And the reason being is because they accused him of not being in line with the apostles. Verse 18, and after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now, look at it. It says in verse 20, he even is going to swear an oath. Now, the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. I'm telling you. I'm giving you an oath. I'm telling you the true history of what happened to me. And he continues afterward, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was known by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. This is the argument of communication. It is none other that the Lord Jesus Christ had given the Apostle Paul. And in fact, in verse 18, when it says here, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. The Greek word there, to see Peter, is the same word from which we get our word history. So when we look at this verse of Scripture, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to history Peter. Now that's going to take us in one of two different directions, or maybe both. I would imagine that the Apostle Paul, when he came and met Peter, what would be the first thing the Apostle Paul would want to tell Peter? Let me tell you how I got saved. Oh, Peter, I was so full of hate. I had all the names. I had the names of these I was planning on putting in jail. But Peter, I heard a voice. I saw a light. I had a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to me, Why are you persecuting me? So you can see the Apostle Paul wanting to tell Peter my history. Oh, but you can also see the Apostle Paul saying, tell me the history. Tell me what Jesus did for you. Tell me how he spoke. Tell me what it was like to walk on the water. So I believe that this to see Peter went both ways. 15 days. Well, there's an awful lot that the Apostle Paul learned about just the 3 years of the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. But remember, it's the gospel. What is the gospel? That Christ died for our sins, that he was buried and rose again the third day. That is clearly the gospel. It's not Judaism. It's not adding on to Judaism. It is something entirely different from, it is separate from, and the fulfillment of what God had given. But it is not an add-on to Judaism. And I have no doubt that the Apostle Paul here enjoyed these 15 days of hearing of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his compassion and love, the multiplying of the fishes and the loaves, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. That history, no doubt the Apostle Paul wanted to learn and know more about of. But not the gospel. That he already had. That he received not from flesh and blood. His testimony had had a tremendous impact. When he came, verse 22, was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. So all these churches, as he finally was known of them, they had only heard of me, he said, that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. We're answering the question, why believe? We believe. Because we see that there's the argument of this contradiction. The Apostle Paul's life had been transformed. The argument of conception, the argument of his clear conversion, the argument of his commission, God calling him, and the argument of his communication, all of this points to one truth. One truth. The message that the Apostle Paul had given to the churches of Galatia, they had been saved by that grace. They had been saved by that message. They had had the Spirit of the living God awaken their conscience to turn away from their paganism and receive the Messiah. But now with the accusations against Paul, and the contradiction of the gospel that had come by these men who simply wanted to add Jesus on to a salvation of works, Paul says, absolutely not. And we're going to continue this. The argument's going to continue. We've not exhausted it yet when we pick it up in chapter 2. Why believe? We've answered why believe. Now, you and I are the recipients of this gospel. And as we emphasized to you last week, and emphasized to you again today, God has saved you to use you. God has saved you for you to give testimony to the saving work of Jesus Christ in your life. You have a circle around you that is particular to you. And you and I, as having been saved by God's grace, we are to evangelize. We are to give testimony. We have something to say about Christ. Where once we were blind, as the man whose eyes have been opened in John chapter 9, we were once blind to our need of him. Oh, we had church. We had religion. Had some level of morality. But then we discovered none of that would be permitted as a means of us being right with God. God had a plan. And that plan is in his Son. And we've received his Son as our Savior and as our Lord. And we have a responsibility to go and to give the gospel, to tell what Jesus has done for us. So go and give and speak and testify to the grace of God that's occurred in your own life, just as it occurred in the Apostle Paul. Nope, you may not have the same spectacular conversion that he had, but your heart's been changed. And your love for the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for the Word of God is witness that he has changed your heart. Old things have passed away. Things have become new and are continuing to be made new in Christ. Hallelujah for the gospel. What a privilege to know him and to be saved by God's grace. And what did Paul write to the church at Rome? He wrote to them, to those to whom he had predestinated, them he also called. And them who also he called, them he also justified. He made right in the sight of God. And those that he justified, them he also glorified. God already sees you and I in the finished product. We're already there. He already knows what he's going to accomplish. And to that joy, we will behold his glory for all of eternity. The best is yet to come. But we get the glory in our Savior today. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the Lord Jesus Christ, the simplicity of this glorious truth. And I want to thank you for this man, the Apostle Paul, and his unique place that you had just for him. But I want to thank you for the unique place that you have just for me and just for these here. Those that might hear this message just for them. Maybe it'll be some lost soul who'll, by purpose or accident, listen to this message at some point in the future and understand why they should believe. Because God chose to save a man so violently opposed and transform his life and give him the same gospel that the apostles preached, but having never learned it from them, having only received it from the Lord Jesus himself. Oh Lord, I thank you. We have blessed reasons why we should believe, and now why we should live for your glory. Oh, that others, just as the Apostle Paul, the churches could glory in the fact of his salvation, let others hear the testimony of our life and glorify God by hearing our own witness as well. Bless us now today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Just the first verse. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Amen. Lord bless you.